Hey everybody, this is Greg Pettix, and you're listening to the 27th issue of the Fantasy Comic Book Editor League. I once again fucked up last time. I fucked up two times ago. Maybe it was last time. No, it was two times ago. And I forgot to mention some artist switcheroos, because I was very inebriated at the time, and I was very sleepy. And I got lost, because there was a lot of artist switcheroos in 1985. So what I forgot to mention in that year, because I know you were keeping track, I know you missed it, and were like, what the hell happened to these two titles? I gotta know. So Clawfang, our barbarian character in 1985, was going to be taken over by Craig Hamilton. Craig Hamilton, amazing artist in the 80s, barely did anything. He came to prominence doing this Aquaman miniseries that blew everyone away. Did a few backups here and there, a few covers. I don't know what the hell happened to him. I guess I could look him up on Wikipedia. I'm sure he went into graphic design or, you know, something more highfalutin and better paying than comic books. But he was amazing. And there's more of a chance that he'd be working for Amazing Comics for longer than a miniseries here and there, because we'd be paying him a lot more and also letting him know how we appreciate him. So he's going to take over Clawfang. That's going to be a beautiful looking comic. Craig Hamilton's kind of in the P. Craig Russell school of cartooning. More detailed. It's got that gracefulness to it. I don't know, maybe because they're both gay. Maybe gay men have a certain thing when they draw superheroes. They bring a certain je ne sais quoi that is makes for good superhero comics. So that's just going to be a placeholder, because as I told you last time in 1987, Simon Bisley is going to take over Clawfang. And that's going to be pretty perfect. But Hamilton's going to draw a damn nice Clawfang. I'm basically just putting him in there for a couple of years. He's not going to be drawing many monthly comics because he wasn't prone to that. But for 2 years, I figure he could draw this comic. There could be fill-ins if he gets bored in those 2 years. Other artists might pop in. Just like all of our titles. I just love imagining all the great fill-ins that we'd have. Because even the artists that we can't get that often, that I wish could draw more, they'll be popping in here and there, drawing a beautiful story arc or standalone issue. So the other comic I forgot to mention in 1985, Mandroid, was going to be taken over by Bill Sienkiewicz. And I think that could be really exciting, because Mandroid was established when in its creation by Jim Steranko, always had a graphic style to it, you know, circuit boards and all that stuff. So just Bill Sienkiewicz in 1985, he was starting to experiment with photo collages and using found art photos of it in his artwork, combining them. So I can just imagine what kind of amazing graphic excellence Mandroid will aspire to in those 4 years when Bill Sienkiewicz is taking over Mandroid. So I don't know why I didn't mention those, because I'm very excited about those. But okay, that is the errata. And now we're getting back to where we left off. And we finished up 1987 last episode, so let's move on to 1988. And the new title for 1988 is Team Zero. And Team Zero is basically going to be Suicide Squad. That concept of giving the villains their own comic. But, for some weird reason, they have to fight on the side of the angels, even though they're villains. You know, Suicide Squad had a good, the original ones had a good concept, where all these prisoners wanted shorter jail time, so they agreed to go on these dangerous missions for the government, something to that effect. So who knows what the initial impetus is for Team Zero to get together and to do some good work. But I just like the idea of all these villains we've established over decades of a universe, and you'll get to see them interacting, and they'll be the stars instead of just the punching bags of the superheroes for once. So, and we're going to get Mark Silvestri to draw that. Mark Silvestri just getting hot around 1988 through the X-Men titles and other things at Marvel. And for all those Image guys, he was a he could actually be a better illustrator. He kind of was like an image guy mixed with John Buscema, one of those old school guys, or even a little Joe Kubert in there, where, but of course, over the years, he slicked himself up to look more image-like and, to be honest, a little more insipid. Still a pretty good superhero artist, but when he came out, he had this nice combination of, like, hot, that kind of artist, you know, hot modern style and, like, classics of illustration, at least comic book illustration. So that'll be a damn good-looking comic, and it'll be fun, and unlike any of our other comics, even though we do have Nemesis, introduced in 1986, which focuses on a villain, but Team Zero will just kind of be like a Avengers for all the villains we've had. You'll get to see them all come in, come and go. That'll be interesting. So that year, we're going to have another amazing Tales annual, and this one's going to be beautiful. Secret Agent, the novel by Joseph Conrad, drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz. And 1988, man, Bill Sienkiewicz is full on painterly, just drawing some of the best graphic designs in or outside of comics, and just amazing stuff, using all kinds of multimedia in his art, even just doing comic books. He was bringing all these like fine art and modern art concepts and abstraction and everything. So that's going to be nice. Secret Agent by Bill Sienkiewicz. Okay, 1989. The new title will be Artemis. And Artemis is a character from our Youth Brigade comic. And I just kind of figured, you know, every now and then we'd have a character who's so popular in their team book. Just like our Wolfen character, who started an Omega tribe, got his own comic. Artemis is going to be getting her own comic. And she's the kick-ass leader of Youth Brigade. She's an archer. Really just cool. Cool under pressure. Great tactician. Really smart leader. Superhero type. Doesn't have any superpowers. Just really amazingly good at what she does. And we're going to get, coming on over to Artemis to draw the first issue, is going to be Rick Leonardi. So I think that's going to be great. Rick Leonardi is going to do a good job on that. Good superhero artist. Okay, that year, it's kind of the second of a twofer. The Amazing Tales annual for that summer is going to be Heart of Darkness, another book by Joseph Conrad. And that's going to be drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz as well. And I think that would be amazing. Him drawing Heart of Darkness and, I don't know, all that psychological inner narrative. And, you know, he can go to town on that. He could be expressive, if you will. So I think that's going to be nice. So I guess 1989, we got some artist switcheroos. And I guess let's just get into them. I'm going to try to do these in better order than last time so I don't forget one. But I probably will. So let's see what happens. Sorry, I was just checking something really quick. I wanted to see what Rick Leonardi was drawing. And I think I fucked up. Because I know Rick Leonardi was drawing something, but I can't find it right now. So, I know I've mentioned him on the show before. That's for another time. Who cares? I'm going to start at the beginning, chronologically, from when the titles were introduced. Night Hunter, or scary monster-fighting character. Kind of like our Vertigo. Part of our different kind of line. They could tell more adult tales in there. You don't have to have superheroes just punching each other in the face every month. And that's been drawn by Mike Mignola for the past 4 years. But he's moving on. And I'll tell you soon where. And that's going to be taken over by Kelly Jones. So around this time, Kelly Jones was becoming the Kelly Jones we know today. Just a really great, great artist. Definitely did a lot of horror. Even though he had extensive runs on Batman. But some of his, most of his stuff has been horror-based, and he's very Bernie Wrightson-like, but taking it even further, where he can draw really beautiful chiaroscuro and, like, fine-line illustration, yet he's very cartoony, too, and he can somehow incorporate that into horror, and it works. And His art's amazing. If you ever have a chance to get his Batman run that he did with Doug Munch, oh, that's good stuff. Some of the best Batman comics of all time. But he's also done so many other horror comics. He did Sandman. He's done a lot. And I'm really glad that he's in Amazing Comics now. And he's going to probably be jumping around all of our horror comics and other things, because he could draw other things too. Okay, next title to have a switcheroo is The Crimson Knight. And The Crimson Knight's been drawn by P. Craig Russell for the past 4 years. But he's moving on, so we're going to have Michael Golden switch over to The Crimson Knight. And once again, doesn't matter what Michael Golden is drawing, it's going to be fucking beautiful. So Michael Golden drawing tales of knights and dragons and whatever. Whatever's going on in Crimson Knight at this point. There's probably lots of fantasy elements after all these artists have introduced stuff. But so it's in a way, it's kind of like a barbarian comic. But they're better dressed. They have better fashion sense than a barbarian. So that's that. The next one's going to be good. So Ms. 45, which has been drawn by Marshall Rogers for the past 4 years, that's going to be taken over by Frank Miller. And this is going to be pretty perfect because, you know, like in a couple years in our reality, maybe 4 years, Frank Miller went back to his first love, started doing Sin City. You know, Frank Miller obviously likes superheroes, but his first love is crime comics. When he was a fan artist in the mid-70s, drawing for fanzines, you know, most kids drawing for fanzines were drawing their crappy version of Spider-Man or their superhero comic, whatever. He was drawing, like, film noir, hard-boiled crime comics, which were not very popular at the time. But that's what he loved, even when it wasn't cool. But then, you know, when the 90s came around and he had enough clout to do whatever the fuck he wanted, he started Sin City, which blew up. Everyone loved it. Great shit. So he obviously has a feel for that film noir crime stuff. And so, yeah, he's going to be taking over Ms. 45, which is going to be fucking great. You know, it's taking place in the 30s, and he's going to be like a pig in slop, Frank Miller. Okay, next is Tor. Tor has been drawn by Jerry Bingham for the past 4 years, competently, and but this is going to be really nice. So Steve Bissett's coming over. Steve Bissett is going to be taking over Tor, and if you know anything about Steve Bissett, you know that it's just perfect, because Steve Bissett loved dinosaurs, he loved drawing caveman times. And I know we're going to be an accurate caveman comic, so there will be dinosaurs, even though we could sneak them in. There could be a Lost Valley where some dinosaurs survived. I mean, because let's be honest, this is it's comic books. We have our own universe, so we'll do whatever the fuck we want. So, I just wanted to say, guys, yeah, Rick Leonardi was drawing Youth Brigade up till 1989 when he took over Arsenal. I finally figured it out. Okay, getting back to the list. Okay, Tor, Steve Bissett, fucking great. Next, Beowulf. Beowulf will be taken over by Sam Keith. Sam Keith, right around this time, was coming into the comics world. Just a singular style, Sam Keith. I would kind of actually put him in that Bernie Wrightson school, too, and Kelly Jones, where he can draw the shit out of anything he wants, but he also always bends it, makes it more cartoony and abstracts it. And it works somehow. Even though he's drawing these kind of weird characters and anatomy, stretching anatomy, you know, he was a fan favorite. You know, that's why Image wanted him, and he started the Max, which was a really weird comic, considering that everything else at Image was really just insipid superhero fanzine art. And he was really doing something different, not just with his art, with the writing. So Sam Keith's going to be taking over Beowulf. He can take that in any direction he wants. Who knows? Beowulf is kind of a weird character. He's kind of, you know, our hybrid barbarian superhero, kind of like Thor. But so that's going to be great, having Sam Keith, and I'm glad he's in Amazing Comics finally. Next up, Starhawk will be taking over by P. Craig Russell, and who has recently left Crimson Knight. He's going to be taking over Starhawk, our cosmic science fiction hero. And he's going to be taking that over from Alan Davis, who's been drawing it just for 2 years. Kind of a placeholder. But I'm sure it looked great. But yeah, man, P. Craig Russell, just getting back to science fiction. It's going to look nice. In the late 80s, I don't know if P. Craig Russell would want to do that. But I think he might. Maybe just nobody ever offered him. Because he really seemed to love drawing science fiction when he was younger. So maybe he still has a little yen. Around this time, though, to be honest, he was inking Rom Space Knight over Steve Ditko's pencils in at Marvel Comics. I think that was just to get a paycheck. So who knows? Maybe P. Craig Russell will just whore himself out for the next few years drawing Starhawk, even though his heart's not in it. But it doesn't matter. It'll still look really good. So that means Alan Davis is trucking on over to the Furies. And Alan Davis, who I often thought was like England's answer to Alan Moore, has got that nice superhero slick style. Very appealing. So I always loved when John Byrne drew the Avengers. So I figured Alan Davis drawing the Furies, our Avengers, will be pretty damn nice. So I think that's going to be nice. So after that, John Byrne, who's been drawing the Furies, oh yeah, 1989, it is time to put John Byrne out to pasture. Even before then, I imagine for us he might be drawing better because we're paying him better. And we've got strong editors saying, hey, John, draw some backgrounds every now and then. Maybe pencil before you ink a character so the anatomy doesn't suck. Lots of things like that, you know. So, yeah, no more use for John Byrne anymore. And I often say that, oh, yeah, we'll be using people here and there, but yeah, after 1989, I don't even want John Byrne on any title, even as a fill-in. Sorry, John Byrne. You really got bad in your later years, and I don't know what happened there. So, now that getting back to the list, Thor will be taken over by Jim Starlin. So, basically, Jim Starlin, the master of the cosmic superhero, he basically created that genre. He's going to be taking over Thor, making it probably a little more cosmic. Thor will be getting into more cosmic-like adventures. But still, you know, Jim Starlin can follow in the footsteps and not just break all traditions. So he's going to be keeping Thor chugging along. It's going to be fun shit. Great storytelling. That's what Jim Starlin does. Not the best artist in the world. He can draw pretty good for superhero comics. But man, he had some really great comics that he wrote and drew over the years. Just good storytelling. So because of that, he's leaving New Gods. Who's going to take over New Gods? Walt Simonson. So that's going to be so nice. Walt Simonson taking over the New Gods. He can get the epic scope, the Kirby-like grandeur that is needed for the New Gods because Jack Kirby created them. And of course, this is nothing original. Walt Simonson in the 2000s had a really good run on Orion, which was basically a new, you know, talking about all the New Gods. And he loves that shit. It's going to be good. His heart's going to be in the right place. He's going to be so good at drawing the, you know, Kirby-like stuff and in his own style, though. But Simonson's got that same, draws very differently than Jack Kirby. But also has that same dynamic quality to his art, where the art seems to jump out at the page, off of the page at you. So, yeah, that's going to be good. And I guess I can't even remember what Walt Simonson was doing before that, but I guess it's really no matter. Oh, I guess he's been doing Thor all these years. So there's a little switcheroo for you. He just switched with Jim Starlin. So, getting back to the list, Amazon will be taken over by Arthur Adams. And that's going to be perfect. Arthur Adams loves to draw a nice Amazon-like woman. And very good at it. Just great at drawing everything. And so Amazon's going to be definitely, now we're firmly entrenched back in the superhero Amazing Comics universe, Amazon's been doing some dimension hopping back to her barbarian roots here and there, but I think with Arthur Adams drawing it, okay, she's back, baby, in the Amazing Comics universe, and that's going to be sweet. So, Amazon, up till this point, has been drawn by Steve Lytle, and I think now Steve Lytle had 4 years on there, and just like in our world, he didn't do much as far as like sticking on a title any time too long. But he definitely always was popping around for, you know, a decade or two, drawing covers, drawing little backups. So even though he's not going to be drawing a regular monthly for us, Steve Lytle will still be doing tons of covers and fill-in issues at the wazoo. Because, yeah, when it comes to a superhero comic, who wouldn't want Steve Lytle to do a fill-in issue, you know? So that's going to always be good. Okay, so Arthur Adams was drawing Omega Tribe up until now that he's taken over Amazon. So who's going to take over Omega Tribe? A young Turk named Jim Lee. 1989, Jim Lee's popping up. He's drawing X-Men, well, drawing Punisher first. And kind of came out of the gate. Pretty damn good superhero artist. Got better and better over the years. And he's just, he's got this, like, just perfect little superhero style. He just knows how to draw, like, kick-ass pin-up type art where you look at it and, like, 12-year-old boys just say, that looks cool. Wow. But I like Jim Lee. I think he's good. He's not like Rob Liefeld or anything. I really think his art is appealing, even as an adult. So he's going to be taking over Omega Tribe. You know, no surprise there. Our X-Men taken over by Jim Lee. And so Omega Tribe's in good hands for a while. And that's going to be fucking nice. So, back to the list. We have, I think we left off at Night Ranger. So Night Ranger has been drawn by Frank Miller for the past 4 years. And who's going to take over Night Ranger? Chris Warner, who's been drawing our Wolfen comic for the past 4 years. I think Chris Warner would be great at Night Ranger, just like I thought he would have been great at Batman. I think he might have drawn a couple of issues of Batman here and there. I don't think many. But, you know, Chris Warner, not very appreciated because he kind of quit drawing very early on in his career to become kind of an executive at Dark Horse and barely draws anything and anymore. But great style. I think it'd be perfect on Night Ranger, and which is our Batman, of course. So I'm glad with that. That's going to be nice. Okay, next up. Oh, I should mention who's taken over Wolfen since Chris Warner has left Wolfen. Butch Geiss will be taking over Wolfen now. And Butch Geiss recently, just this year, left Beowulf. He's been drawing Beowulf for the past 4 years. So now he's going over to Wolfen. And, you know, 1989, Geiss is definitely getting better. He doesn't have that full-on, like, old-school illustrative style that he gets in the late 90s, early 2000s. But Wolfen's going to be looking good. A good-looking superhero comic. Butch Geiss could draw all the all the lines necessary to show Wolfen ripping through some people. So it's going to be a sweet-looking comic. Okay, next on the list is Swamp Beast. So Swamp Beast will be taken over by Rick Veitch, or Veitch. And Swamp Beast has been drawn by Steve Bissett for the past 4 years. And now Rick Veitch is going to take over. Of course, during those 4 years, Rick Veitch was probably helping him, like he did in our reality, on Swamp Thing. Many of those Steve Bissett, John Totleben issues of Swamp Thing, Rick Veitch was ghosting lots of panels here and there. Because apparently Steve Bissett is a really lazy guy. And that's why he's never really, other than Swamp Thing, he never really did a lengthy run on anything. Also, there's many fill-in issues on Swamp Thing, if you remember. But Rick Veitch is not. He's a hard-working motherfucker. And I figure all the comics Steve Bissett draws for us, they'll be fill-ins. You know, Steve Bissett needs a little time to vegetate or whatever the hell he does when he's not drawing comics. But he will So that's why it's feasible that he'll stay in a comic for 4 years at a time. He'll basically do little story arcs and then maybe take 2 issues off. But now Rick Veitch is taking over Swamp Beast, and that's going to be good. And I hope he stays there a long time. Because as we know, in our reality, Rick Veitch took over Swamp Thing, led to a very controversial end. He had a follow-up, Alan Moore, on Swamp Thing, and he did pretty good. It wasn't Alan Moore, but it was pretty damn good. Better than anyone ever hoped. Anyone having to follow Alan Moore is kind of fucked. Especially back then, when there weren't that many, you know, good writers before the English invasion fully saturated our shores. But Rick Veitch already had the shit from drawing for Undergrounds, drawing for Heavy Metal, drawing his own creator-owned stuff. So that's going to be really nice. Next up, oh wait, maybe I should mention what Rick Veitch just left Stalker. And who's going to take over Stalker? Mike Mignola, moving over from Nighthunter. So we're going to keep Mike Mignola in that spooky milieu. So Stalker is another one of our, you know, comics that isn't really just a superhero comic. Horror, but a vampire. And so Mike Mignola, 1989 especially, his style's becoming full-blown. And that's going to be beautiful. Mike Mignola, drunk Stalker, getting close to the height of his powers. Every month we're going to see him get better and better. Okay, so next up, we got Dragon Fist will be taken over by Bill Sienkiewicz. And that's going to be nice. So, oh, I almost missed a comic. Never mind, sorry. I'll get back to that. Dragon Fist, Bill Sienkiewicz. I just think this could look beautiful. Maybe I'm just thinking of Electra Assassin in my head, but I don't know. Just Sienkiewicz drawing this mystic kung fu character. I think it's Bill Sienkiewicz. You know, like he could be drawing a comic book about Betty and Veronica. It would be nice. So, Bill Sienkiewicz had been drawing Mandroid up to that point since 1985. Who's going to take over Mandroid? Well, Marshall Rogers will. And after leaving Miss 45, he's going to need a home. And I think Marshall Rogers would be great on Mandroid. He's done a bunch of science fiction in his life, and I think he's great at it. And especially just with his architectural background, his precise drawing, it's going to look good. Him drawing robots and all these kind of super scientific things. And so Marshall Rogers doing Mandroid, it's going to be, I think, a good fit. I'm excited about that. And so Victory Squad. Victory Squad for the past 4 years has been drawn by George Perez. So Victory Squad will be taken over. And this is just a perfect fit. Jerry Ordway will be joining Amazing Comics and joining Victory Squad as the artist. Jerry Ordway has been drawing since the mid-80s in our reality at this point. Actually, early 80s if you consider his fanzine art. He was a longtime fanzine contributor, fanboy. He breaks into comics at DC. Totally gets into All-Star Squadron. And, you know, he's very workmanlike. Just kind of bland superhero comic work. But he really basically perfects the bland superhero art and gets really pretty good at it by the late 80s. And I just think he just loved that 40s shit, you know, drawing the All-Star Squadron. So I just figure him doing Victory Squad with all, there's going to be so many characters in that comic. He can do that. I just think it'll be a nice, nice looking comic. And, you know, Victory Squad's just, you know, it's a superhero comic, so. And then that's been drawn by George Perez for 4 years, Victory Squad. So he's going over to Youth Brigade. And so he's going to be taking over Youth Brigade, which is kind of a weird one because George Perez basically made his name drawing the Teen Titans, the new Teen Titans in the 80s. And even though these are our teenage superheroes, they're not like the Teen Titans at all. I mean, they're pretty street level. They live in a poor part of the city, even though there's a bunch of them. But they're more like a street gang with cool powers than the Teen Titans. But I think George Perez could draw that too. Especially because that's where he grew up. He grew up in the Bronx, I believe, in the 70s and 60s. And I've read some comics where, you know, it's not all clean superhero fun stuff where he could draw that stuff. You know, gritty, garbage-strewn streets and alleys and stuff. So I think that's going to be nice. George Perez drawing Youth Brigade. And I believe that's it for 1989. And it's also it for the 80s. And I wanted to say that I think I'm going to be taking a break from the Amazing Comics universe, because we basically, in these 27 episodes, I've chronicled 50 years of a comic book company. That's the 50th year, I guess. Started in 1940. So, to be honest, in the 90s, things get a little, on my list, they get a little vague. There's some holes, because over the past few months, I've had to steal things from the 90s to plug in holes from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s, and 90s, and 80s, sorry. And now I have to regroup and make up some stuff for the 90s. I got a lot of stuff already, but there's some holes. But to be honest, I would like to take a break anyway and talk about finally getting into other fantasy comic book editor realms. And I've been looking through my old notes, and I realized that so many of my comic fantasies were always based on, like, usually something that ended before I wanted it to. Like, oh, that comic company, I love them, I'm totally following them, and then they end after a year. And then in my brain, I just can't accept it. So I basically keep making almost like fan fiction. Like, oh, what if they kept going? And what would they have done? So we're going to get into that next time. And I believe next time we're going to, the first non-Amazing Comics issue of our podcast, we're going to be talking about Atlas Comics, the 1970s comic company that lasted about a year. And when I was a kid, I wasn't buying them off the stands, but about a year later, I started discovering them, and always in quarter bins. They didn't do very well, but they fascinated me, and I wanted all of them, even the ones that weren't that great. I just loved the idea of Atlas Comics, that there was a third comic company, superhero comic company out there, going up against Marvel and DC. I know there was other comic book companies in the 70s, but they were all basically like, okay, we're giving it up to Marvel and DC. We're just going to do horror comics, romance, funny animal, all the things Marvel and DC didn't give a shit about. But Atlas Comics tried to go toe-to-toe with the big boys, especially Marvel. And we'll get into that next week. So, yeah, 50 years of Amazing Comics, and I can't believe I did it all. Every artist switch, every new title, you got them. If you listen to this podcast, you know the whole history of this imaginary bullshit comic company that's never going to be real. But next time, we're going to talk about more unreal comics from Atlas Comics that they kept going. And we'll probably talk about a little bit about Atlas Comics. And okay, guys, thanks for listening. And I'll see you at the movies.